In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We know the words of our Lord which say, "Do not judge, and you will not be judged." Perhaps, sadly, we know them better than the Ten Commandments themselves. But we often interpret these words, "Do not judge," to mean, "No one can hurt my feelings, and I should not hurt anyone else's feelings." So while generally true, it's not absolute. We cannot forget verse 42, where our Lord concludes, "Then you will see clearly to take out the speck that is in your brother's eye." What is the speck? It is sin. How do you know if what they said or did is actually sinful? Because you've judged his words or actions against the Ten Commandments. And if it does not break one of those Ten Commandments, then we don't poke at their eye, for we will only harm what is good. But if it does break one of the Ten Commandments, then we remove that speck. We do not let our brother remain in sin. As a child flinches when mom wipes junk from his eye, so also the sinner does not want to be exposed. It hurts. It's embarrassing. Perhaps even humiliating. You know what that is like. Perhaps from a look from a spouse, a parent, a friend, or a word that was spoken to you. You know what it's like to break God's commandments and to do what he has forbidden. But also you know what it is like to have God wipe away the guilt of your sin and wash it away in his own blood. And so be merciful, even as God is merciful. Mercy flows from the heart. They have only a speck, while you have a redwood dangling from your eye. You know your sins in far greater details. You see only but one sin in their life. Does this prevent you from pointing out their sin? Does this mean those who in glass houses should not cast stones? No, that is not what our Lord is teaching. But he's teaching us to judge ourselves by the same measure that we judge one another. That we apply those same Ten Commandments equally, both to them and to us, knowing that we are the far greater sinner, for we have broken God's commandments in ways that they could not even imagine. So we call ourselves to repentance, even as we call others to repentance. Do not mistake mercy for tolerance. Tolerance lets sin slide, for culture and times have changed. Mercy will not let sin slide, because God's Ten Commandments will not change. Tolerance lets man remain in sin. Mercy removes his sin. Tolerance doesn't want to hurt anyone's feelings, so it says nothing. Mercy doesn't want to hurt anyone's feelings, but it still speaks out of love for the sinner. Tolerance leaves him a sinner. Mercy seeks to make him a saint. So speak the law of God in mercy. Speak as one who is under the law. Speak as a sinner to sinners. Speak as one washed in the blood of Christ. Speak as one who has been arrogant and ignorant, who has been defiant and also just simply made wrong, ill-informed decisions. Speak as one who has been lazy, self-absorbed, lustful, and discontent. Speak as one who knows what sin feels like in the heart, and also what sin does to the mind and to the body. Speak in mercy, even as you desire God to deal with you in mercy. He exposes sin in mercy, not to destroy the sinner, but to lead him to despair. He humbles the sinner and tears away his pride so that the sinner sinks down into the arms of Christ and finds comfort in his blood. God does not parade you around before the angels or before the world so everyone can have a good laugh at what you have done. For a bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not quench. But rather he fans back into flame, faith, with the breath of his forgiveness. He uses his law to expose sin, so that he might take away that sin. Pointing out sin is not his goal. Casting stones is not his goal. Forgiveness is. Use the law of God like that. Pointing out someone's sin is not your goal. Forgiveness is. That the sinner might be reconciled both to God and to you. If it's sinful, then expose the sin. And when they acknowledge it, forgive. And yes, even forget. This is not some quaint homespun saying, but these are the words of him who holds the key to death and hell. To hold grudges, that is, to refuse to forget what they have done, and to treat them as if that offense still stood between you and them. To hold those grudges is to ask God to do the same for you. To forgive only some of the sins that they have done, or to forgive them only sometimes, again, is to ask God to treat you the same, to take away only some of your offenses. And how will that go for you? To treat them harshly, to jump down their throats, to be quick and impulsive in judgment, again, is to bring down the wrath of God upon us. Mercy does not look down from an ivory tower, but it gets down on his knees next to the sinner in the muck and the filth to clean his wounds and to gently remove that filth so that by God's forgiveness he might be lifted up to his feet. It does not pass by on the other side muttering, "How dare someone treat me like that?" But it loves the sinner who cut you off, gave you a cold shoulder, tarnished your name, hurt your family and friends, and made you upset, even as God loved you when you had sinned against him. He does not whisper your sins in heaven so everyone can mock you, but he comes down to earth to enter into the sinful sewage of your sins. He gets down on his knees to cleanse you, stretches out his hands, and begs his Father to forgive even his enemies. No tit for tat. No, this is what they deserve, but only blood for your sins. Let us forgive even as God has forgiven us. A simple word then on whom we are to judge. Here you must know what your vocation in life is. Where has God put you in this life? Parents. Parents are to judge and to train their children in the way of the Lord, not only in what they are to believe, but also in how they are to live. That is, how they are to behave, how they are to act, how they are to speak, how they are to dress, how they are to conduct themselves in this world. That fourth commandment of honor your father and mother does not have an expiration date. You remain their father and mother throughout their entire life, even when they grow up and have children of their own. And so you still have a duty to them. Granted, that changes. The responsibility and the way you carry out that responsibility changes. But you still have a duty to them. They still need your Christian wisdom. So do not be complicit in their sin by remaining silent, thinking they're old enough to make their own decisions. They're not. They're still your children. God gave them to you, not just for 18 years, but he gave them to you throughout your entire life. So love them and be merciful to them. And children, do not despise the rebuke of your parents, regardless of your own age. But thank and praise God that he has given to you Christian parents who do not want you to break God's commands. Spouses, help one another. Love one another, for love covers over a multitude of sins, and you know how difficult it can be to live with a sinner in the same house. Habits and personalities and traits can become quite annoying, so be merciful. Siblings, help one another. Speaking generally, any Christian is to call his erring brother or sister to repentance and faith. We are not independent of each other, but we need each other. We cannot cry out with Cain, "Am I my brother's keeper?" Yes, you are. You have a responsibility to one another, and you owe it to one another to fulfill that responsibility. Help them fulfill the commandments of God. But always watch out for pride, lest Satan divide husband from wife, Christian from Christian, brother from sister, and parent from child. So live in repentance before God, and live in mercy with one another. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.